This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with Wells Tech. This is episode 423 for Tuesday, December 15th, 2015. On this show, we talk about technology, we talk about ministry, and where those two meet. And helping me do that each and every week is Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you. Wearing my Christmas red today. I see you are as well. Yeah. Must be party day.
Christmas party at the CMM, the Center for Mission and Ministry. Actually, the party's not here, but just down the road. So looking forward to that. It's always a fun event. Wish you guys could be here.
Yeah, actually, I'm partying tonight, too. I'm getting together with my fellow ding-a-lings, those of us in the handbell choir, and we're heading over to a local nursing home to play handbells, and looking forward to that, and then we'll have some fellowship time afterwards. So,
yeah, those were some of my neatest memories of ministry, is those times in some of those assisted care or nursing homes, and just kind of, especially around the holiday season, you know, seeing some of those faces light up and some of the conversations that we had. That's neat ministry work.
Yeah, I'm excited. We play in a really large sanctuary normally, so this will be a lot more intimate setting. I think our bells will be heard a lot better than they are in the sanctuary, and I think they will enjoy it. I hope they do.
Good. Another thing that I hope people enjoy is this show, because it's all about the community feedback we have received over the last 4 weeks. So we try and dedicate a show a month to just community feedback. So we store it away, you know, we whittle it away, we freeze it, and then we thaw it for this show. And again, a lot of great feedback from all of our social channels. And so we looked under every rock and found all the conversations that were happening. And it's all over the board, which is great. So kind of a potpourri of Wells Tech topics this afternoon.
Yeah, from the looks of the number of tabs I have open, I think that we have a lot to talk about. Thank you, community, for chiming in with all these great things that we have to share. I think everyone who listens today will find something of value for their ministry efforts, be it church, school, or personal. There's lots of great stuff to share.
Neat. So where do we start, Sally?
One of my go-to places is DIGO, and we have a Wells Tech group on DIGO, and it's time for me to share my screen because a few things were shared this month via DIGO, the first being a link to something called the Mac Labs Game On, and this is from Jason Schmidt, and apparently it's a way to gamify your education. Teachers can use it to turn assignments into quests and beef up the old rubric thing. 2015 saw me doing this kind of thing in a class I took this spring, and I think this is definitely a major trend in education as you add gamification to existing lessons and things. So looks like the Mac Lab has some software to help you do that. You can download it here and learn more. I didn't dig in super deep, Martin, but they have lots of resources if you want to get started with it, lots of videos and things that they've put together to help you get it installed, to learn how to use it. And then the options page is pretty robust, all the different things you can do with it. So check out Game On, and maybe next time Jason joins us, I think that might be the end of January, he can tell us a little bit more about what he's done with this tool.
So because it's from the Mac Lab, is it Mac software? Do you know? Can you tell?
I can't. I'll click the download link and see what happens. The screen turns white. Does that mean it's a GitHub link?
Something's happening, trying to happen.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, it's got source code and zip files and tar files. So I don't know. I'm sorry. Good question, and maybe Jason can tell us more in January.
Yeah, looks Mac focused, but looks very complete and robust. So nice selection.
Yeah.
What else do we have from DGO?
A couple of things that I tagged there. One of them is from a wiki maintained by Logos, our friends at Logos, and this is the Biblia Verse of the Day images. So they often put out Verse of the Day images. If you follow them on Instagram in particular, that's where I see their Verses of the Day. But what they've done here is they've organized all the images that they've made available by the books of the Bible. And you can come here and download the high-res versions of these verse images. So potentially you could use them on digital display screens or in whatever social media sharing or whatever that you want. And quite a few verses available here. So check it out. It says the images, oops, I clicked on one and I lost my page. Sorry. Are in 1920 by 1080 resolution. So looks like they are very well done.
So this is something you can subscribe to on Instagram, and then each day you get one, or just once in a while?
I'm not sure if it's each day on Instagram, but what they've done is they've archived them here on this wiki page. So in addition to seeing them on Instagram, you can actually come to this wiki page and download any of them, get access to their complete archives. So that's really what the link is about, is the archive of all these by Bible book.
They've got almost something from every book of the Bible, it looks like, certainly.
Yeah, it looks like.
So, good resource. Yep.
Yeah. And then finally, via DGO, I tagged this Amazon business page. This is a promotion that I got from Amazon where you can register your business. And it's free to get a business account, and they will give you free two-day shipping on orders over $49, some price discounts for businesses, easy tax-exempt purchasing, so you register your information once, and they'll remember it and apply it to your purchases, and some other features as well. So it looks like might be worth churches and schools looking into Amazon Business if you do any ordering via Amazon.
Yeah, especially because of the tax-exempt feature there. Mm-hmm. It's that's one thing I've struggled with, you know, purchasing things for the synod or even our church where there's tax applied. So this would be the way to get around that. Just provide your tax-exempt certificate, and they'll keep it on file, and you can order on behalf of the business.
It's kind of a segmented audience for their Prime. You know, it's basically a flavor of their Amazon Prime offerings. But
they do need to pay something, it looks like.
I'm sorry.
So you need to pay something?
No, free account, it says. It does say business pricing, but I think what that refers to is that they have lower prices on some items for business. So looks like it's free to be a part of.
Okay.
All right. Next up, I want to add a little video to the mix.
Skipped a couple in DGO. Did you do that on purpose?
I did. I thought we had such a lengthy list, and all of them
were
from me.
Well, I was looking forward to the Bob Ross stuff here.
I actually deleted that from my map, so you're not in the same version map as me.
I'm an aged map, so I'm going to actually bring this up because I want to talk about this.
So, all right.
Those of you that have been around a while know who Bob Ross is. Bob Ross was that guy who taught everybody how easy it is to paint landscapes, right?
Right.
Did you ever watch him?
I did on PBS. He was a very happy fella.
He is.
And he had quite a few trees in here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What this site does is whenever you're looking for placeholder text, you know, the lorem ipsum kind of Latin text, they provided a tool where you could get Bob Ross quotes, and you can pick how many paragraphs, you know, minimum, maximum, and hit a button, and ultimately you get a piece of text that you can copy and paste into whatever project you're working on that needs that placeholder text. So if you're kind of tired of the lorem ipsum stuff and want some Bob Ross goodness, he was always such a happy guy, this is the tool for you. And I was reading this article, I also, you know, came to mind that there are other ways to get lorem ipsum text into certain kinds of documents. I know in Microsoft Word, there's actually a keyboard command or a little a formula that you can use that will allow lorem ipsum text to be inserted at the cursor point, and that's using the equal sign and then the word lorem, and then open and close parentheses will, and then you hit enter and it'll automatically enter that lorem ipsum text for you. So a couple of little tips there for you, but if you're into Bob Ross, you're not going to want to miss the Bob Ross Happy Text Inserter. So I can't believe you pulled that one out of the map.
Well, I had so much good stuff to share. Okay, now we know what makes you tick. That's good. I'm glad.
And we should give credit. I don't know who put that in there. Did you put that in there or was that somebody else?
It was me.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I had no confidence to share it, because I thought you'd think I was dorky. But apparently not. So good deal.
All right. Give Bob his due.
That's right. Next up, I did want to make mention of a video that our friends over at Lakeside Lutheran High School have been busy working on. I got an email from Todd Hackbarth over there at Lakeside, and he explained, and you guys maybe remember that they often have the fourth graders visit their school, and they were trying to think of something creative to do with the fourth graders. In the past, we've shared a video called The Most Important Message, told by fourth graders, where they really talked about how much Jesus loves you and forgives you and everything. Really well done. This year, they included the children in this video, which is a really neat dance video. Primarily, it's basically showing off all different areas of the campus with this young lady dancing in all these areas. And neat story behind that, she choreographed it. Her first name is Hannah, and she actually filmed this in all these different areas. It's not green screened in. She's actually in all these areas, and the video seamlessly connects all these different places where she's dancing. But about halfway through, they intermix some background stuff. And if you're looking at my screen, you can see that there's some drawings on the screen and kind of an outline of the girl dancing, and it goes really fast. But if you actually move your cursor along and stop, there's all these different images, and those images were done by the students in Paint program. And then they pieced them together and inserted them in this really cool montage that goes super fast right in the middle of the video. So you can imagine those fourth graders are excited to be connected to Lakeside in this way, be part of this video, but it also, you know, serves the purpose of showing off the school and all the different areas of the school with Hannah doing her dance routine all throughout the campus. So very creative. They always do some really neat stuff there at Lakeside.
Yeah, well done. I was really impressed with the transitions they had between scenes, and the fact that even though they were obviously shot in different, you know, different times, they really seamlessly integrated her in the exact position, her body position. Even you couldn't tell that they were switching scenes if you just looked straight at her. So very cool videography. So neat.
Definitely.
Project.
Yep. All right, Martin, next up we are going to take a stroll through Twitter land and see what's out there on Twitter.
Found a number of things. One of them is about a tool that I know we've talked about with probably both Jason and Gail, and that is Flubaroo. The news here with Flubaroo is that it is now able to share graded assignments through Google Drive. Those of you familiar with Flubaroo, it works with Google Forms and allows you to basically auto-grade Google Forms. Is probably its best feature. So your form data from Google Forms goes into a spreadsheet. You add the Flubaroo add-in, and it asks, it detects the fields, and then it asks, well, which field or which row is the answer key, and then it compares all subsequent rows with the answer key and then does grading. One of the features that's been in Flubaroo for a long time is the ability to email the students their grade based on what Flubaroo detected in the answer guide. What this does is it allows these to be saved, this information now to be saved out to Google Drive. So rather than just email, you can save it out to Google Drive, and then you can receive kind of individual documents containing the responses, their grade, the answer key if you chose to share it, those kinds of things. So this is kind of an upgrade for FluBrew, and I know a lot of our teachers in across the Synod use it, so this is good news if that's the way you prefer. Rather than just email the information out, you can put it in a folder on Google Drive. I probably should reference another article here on forms, since we're talking about Google Forms, and this came from our Google Plus Schools community, where they were talking about, this article was talking about the pros and cons of Google Forms in Google Classroom. So apparently, it's now integrated. Forms are now integrated into Google Classroom, which is their kind of learning management system. And this is a good article because it talks about the pluses or the pros and the cons of that change. There are some neat things that you can do now that it's in Google Classroom, but some of the cons also cropped up as well, because it seems to be making a copy of the content, and sometimes you will lose add-ins. He's talking specifically about Form Mule, which I'm not familiar with, that is sometimes lost in the translation, which makes this kind of a non-starter for him. So if you are into Google Forms and you use Google Classroom, this would be something to read before you jump in with both feet. But I don't know about you, Sally, but Google Forms are just probably one of the coolest technologies that of the whole Google App suite. They're really flexible and powerful, especially in educational settings.
They are, and I liked what I saw in that article. Like, the very first sentence was, use Google Forms for everything, or something to that effect. And I think what's so exciting about it is, you know, we've transitioned to the expectation that word processing and spreadsheets and even presentation software are just part of our arsenal. They're in our tool belt, and we use them, I guess you would say, ubiquitously or something like that. But it's just part of the way we work. And forms are really the next big thing, I think, just to add to everybody's arsenal, that they can collect data and that they can have so many different flavors and things for classroom usage or for school, for church usage even, and that they're so easy and shareable and just.
Yep, we used them pretty extensively for the WellsTech conference, for instance, and one of the neatest things about the Google platform and Google Apps in general is all the add-ins that are available that'll work with them, like FluBrew and some of the other ones that that come up all the time, especially with Google Forms. But you know, across the board, there's stuff that works with Google Docs and Sheets and etc. So
it's a big, sure to get a wow there. If you're teaching a class and you can bring forms into it, you definitely will wow your class, because it's simple and it can have a big impact and your productivity and things as you try to gather information.
Yeah, so, a lot of help material out there for them, but it's actually not a difficult concept either. Once you get a couple of core ideas down, it's pretty easy to get a hold of and use.
Definitely.
Sally, I think you've got the next Twitter one.
I do, and I had a fun time experimenting with this one yesterday, just in time for this show. We received a tweet from Rachel Pearson. She copied us along with a bunch of other people and said, who's interested in trying out Voxer? Well, I had never heard of Voxer, so it was time for me to do just a little bit of reading and begin to understand what Voxer is. And it's basically the ability to have a conversation, a chat, you might call it, but actually record it with a microphone and share it in chat fashion with your actual voice instead of having to type. Now, I'm a fan of not having to type on tiny keyboards especially, so I went and installed the app on my smartphone. As I read more, though, it's not just just for smartphones. You can also use it on your desktop or your smart watch if you have an Apple Watch or a Samsung Gear watch or whatever. And so today I logged in to actually show you what it looks like in the desktop version. So last night, Rachel and Shelly Karstens and Ann Marcourt and I did a little Voxer group, and we just recorded messages back and forth. They kind of bill it as a walkie-talkie, and the screen interface looks a lot like a walkie-talkie. You have to press and hold the button as you would a walkie-talkie, hold it in while you're talking. I think there's probably a toggle for that where you can make it work if you just click on it and click on it again to stop the recording. But they definitely go with that walkie-talkie kind of feel. And as new people converse, then you see it right there in your stream of your conversation, and you can click the play button to listen to it. You can speed it up. You can download it. You can save it to Dropbox, feature it. You can get all kinds of bells and whistle notifications on your phone, or you can turn all that off if you don't want to know. You just want to go check it periodically or whatever. So again, this is just the web interface, but very similar on your phone. It's available for both Android and iOS devices. So you can get the Voxer walkie-talkie messenger app in both stores. And the concept behind it would be that you could have these maybe personal learning network type conversations that occur on Twitter with chat messages and things, but you can have them with your actual voice involved. So it was really cool. I could tell that the ladies were listening to what I was recording, like immediately it would notify me, Shelly's listened to this or whatever. And just a really neat way in very real time to have a conversation really without boundaries. As long as everyone is logged into Voxer, then it's very real time and easy to do. So
can you continue the conversation, like even now with this thread, somebody could come back and leave another message, so they it's kind of perpetual?
Yeah, you definitely can. There is a pro version, which costs $3.99 a month, which gives you a lot more control, allows you to have larger chats. I think you're limited to like 15 people in a group with the free version. You can go hands-free on mobile, and you can also kind of archive things and recall them and things like that. Yearly $29.99 or monthly $3.99 with the pro version.
Interesting. I can see some ministry applications, especially in distance learning scenarios, where if you don't have, let's say, the opportunity to get everybody on at the same time, there can be kind of an asynchronous approach, to this concept. And there's always value in hearing voice intonation as
definitely.
Well. It's always a challenge with email or chat. You just not, even with emojis, you can't always tell how somebody is what's the flavor behind what they're saying. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was really fun for me to hear these ladies last night, just in real time. And like you said, I do a lot of communication over distance, and voice makes a big impact when you're used to just having those type messages. I really liked it. Well done.
Yeah, if you're not familiar, just another quick tip in messages on the iPhone and iPad, you can send your voice as well. There's a little microphone next to the iMessage box. So cameras on one side, iMessage text box in the middle. But on the right, there's this little microphone that you can press, and you can actually record your voice, and it'll get sent to the iMessage recipient. They can hear that too. So that feature's there. It's not quite the same because you can't, I think it actually, there's a setting in here that it only stays on your phone for a certain amount of time because it does take up space. But that's kind of it made me think of that feature. So
yeah, definitely.
That's cool. I like that technology. I think there's some application for that. And maybe even in the future, there would be, like Skype is doing, translation, so that you could have these conversations with people who don't speak the same language or are learning a language, and you have application for that as well. It seems like a natural.
Amazing. Yeah, sounds great.
So that is
World Gets Smaller and Smaller.
Voxer.
Yep, .com.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, just a quick mention that we do have the Wells Tech Listserv going strong. This is a group of people that sign up or opt in to receive email from everyone in the group. And lots of tech conversations go on via the listserv. This month, there were things, announcements about free computers. Someone was giving away some older computers. And I didn't see any takers, at least publicly, through the listserv, so it's quite possible you could still read up on that message and get in touch with Ken Becker to find out if he still has those PCs available. There was also a question from Gail Potratz, who was looking for things to use to free up the teacher working on a smart board to allow them to roam around the room. What kind of wireless systems or receivers do people use? And Jason Schmidt replied and said he likes the Intuos tablets. Wireless costs are extra, but they're a pretty solid product. And they also, they use Mimio hardware, so the software's free with the Mimio boards. And you can connect up to 3 devices, Android, iOS, or any web-enabled device, device, to the teacher computer. And that way you can provide remote control. He also mentioned TeamViewer and SplashTop desktop, which basically allow you to remote control the computer hooked up to the board. So you can be walking around with TeamViewer on the tablet and controlling it from the tablet. So great suggestions from Jason, and I'm sure Gail would be open to other suggestions from the group if anyone else has ideas for her. That's via the Wells Tech listserv.
Yep, very good.
One area that really took off this month, Martin, is in relation to a group we've talked about on the show for the last several months. It's called Wells Intersections, and this is actually an offshoot from the Wells Tech Conference. Pastor Jim Aderman and I believe Pastor Emil Burgess both are involved in getting together the Southeast Wisconsin congregations and schools to continue that conversation about the intersection of technology and ministry. And Pastor Aderman in particular has set up a Facebook group, and you know, that kind of broadens their circles. It doesn't have to just be Southeastern Wisconsin that follows this Facebook group, where he's sharing things of interest in the intersection, thus the name, Intersections of Technology and Ministry. And he's got a lot really interesting things. A couple that I saw that he shared this month was a link to the tickcounter.com website, where you can generate a countdown clock for any date or whatever. So if you're interested in counting down to New Year's morning, 12:01 a.m. or 12 a.m., you can generate a countdown clock, and it'll give you embed code where you can put that clock on your own website. So nice little utility and free to use. Next up, he shared a link to Worship House Media's 12 Days of Christmas, where each day they're giving away a particular media for free. It might be music or video or just imagery or whatever it is. Today's giveaway is Bubble Wrap Believers from the Skit Guy Studio. Those guys are really funny. Anyway, they're giving away almost all this week, so if you haven't taken advantage of it, get on over there and you can download some free resources this week. And if memory serves, they often give you like a package at the end of this where it has all of the ones that they've given away throughout. So if you missed any of them, there might be an opportunity to get the ones that you missed if you didn't happen to visit that particular day. So again, 12 Days of Christmas from worshiphousemedia.com.
Yeah, and then their material is really quality. They do not cut corners, and I think you'd be impressed just by looking at any of them. So
definitely. And then the last one from Wells Intersections is this article from Church Tech Today. Our friend Lauren Hunter and her crew at Church Tech Today recently wrote about the top 5 most effective guest follow-up tools of 2015. And they have kind of a graphic to go along with it where it talks about calling, emailing, texting, giving them a mug with your logo, and mailing them the old-fashioned snail mail, and give you a little bit of information on each of those different ways to do outreach for those that visit your congregation. So good article and ideas for you in the area of outreach.
I like the Mug'em one. It's a funny name, but that's an interesting strategy, is to get something in their home that will remind them, that they may keep around, that will remind them of their visit to you.
Yeah, he stresses to do it within 72 hours. So get out there and visit them face to face and hand them a coffee mug.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe even some coffee in it. Cool.
Yeah.
We on to Google Plus now?
We are.
Google Plus, I mentioned one of the articles already that came up in the Google School section. There's a couple other areas. One of them is the Office 365 area. And there was a post on that Office 365, I believe by Perry Lund. That would be a safe bet, but I don't want to say that for sure. But if it was him, it was a great post because it talks about one of my favorite technologies, and that is not Minecraft, because it's also about that, but OneNote. It's a little 20-minute YouTube video that is published by Microsoft in Education, which is a YouTube channel. If you use Microsoft products, you'll want to subscribe to, so you can get these great videos. But basically, a couple educators talking about Minecraft. So I learned a little bit about Minecraft. But really, the point of the video was how to use OneNote in conjunction with Minecraft to build some lesson plans and some lesson materials, where you are kind of project planning the Minecraft exercise or activity within OneNote, using OneNote for kind of the script or the resources that you might need to fulfill the Minecraft exercise, and then letting the kids jump in there and get at those resources. OneNote is a really easy tool, I think, to jump in and get used to right away, because it follows that notebook section page concept hierarchy, where you have the ability to kind of organize content, and it's easy for somebody to step through content in an organized way. And one of the neatest things about OneNote is that you can really capture everything in it. You can have files attached, images, audio and video files, just plain notes. You've got formatting that you can do, notations. You can drag emails into it. It's really a cool tool and kind of a no-brainer if you're trying to bring together a lot of resources for a lesson and then let the kids have at it. So we'll put a link to this, obviously, in the show notes, but it's called it's a Microsoft EduCast series using OneNote and Minecraft with Chris Scott. It's kind of a fun video, very informative. Helped me understand a little bit about how Minecraft fits. They were talking about building a Mayan temple was the exercise. So it gave some, obviously, background information, both geographic and spatial, you know, how to build this, why it was made the way it was. So kind of interesting stuff.
Excellent. So learning all kinds of things over there in Waukesha.
Yep. And then the other one was from, again, the Google Schools Google Plus group, and that was from our friend Joe Dufour. I think we've had on the show before. It's maybe been a while. He tagged an article from the official Google for Work blog called Meetings Made Simple with Guest Access. So this is a new release as of November, middle of November, for Google Work customers, and which doesn't apply to a lot of us because most of us are Google apps for schools or nonprofits. So it's a little bit different flair, but I think the point is that this is coming. And the nice part about this is if you're using Hangouts, it's always been kind of a challenge to make sure everybody had a Google account and they knew where to look for the invitation, blah, blah, blah. This new feature allows you to add somebody to a Hangout, either through Calendar or I think right within the Hangout, sends it to an email address. They click on the link and join, so they don't have to have a. My understanding is, I didn't try it, they don't have to necessarily have a Google account to jump in, And then once they do try and get in, the meeting organizer simply needs to approve them so that they can get into the meeting. So it seems like it takes a lot of the headache out of the process by allowing this kind of ad hoc invitation that will go out and get people into these Hangouts, which is a very cool technology. We obviously use it for the podcast, and it works real well, and would have application, I think, broader application if it weren't so darn hard to get into sometimes. So I think educators or counselors or whoever wants to use this in a church or school setting will benefit from this new feature if it comes to the regular accounts, which I'm assuming it will. So that's good news on the Hangouts front.
Excellent. Yeah, definitely challenging at times to get people into Hangouts. So good stuff.
That's it for Google Plus, I believe.
All right. Now we're going to transition into what we affectionately call the Rob Gunther Hour of Wells Tech.
It won't be an hour.
I'm joking, of course, but we just love our faster pastor, our Wells Tech Hall of Famer, Pastor Rob Gunther, who serves up at Grace in Kenai. One of the things he sent us this month was a really interesting infographic. It's called 1 Second on the Internet, and it's from designly.com. And so as you load the page, it tells you the number of Reddit votes cast in 1 second, the number of Instagram photos uploaded and in 1 second on the internet, and it represents it graphically, the number of Tumblr posts. It gets longer, the number of Skype calls made, the number of tweets tweeted fills up several screens as you're scrolling, the number of Dropbox files uploaded even more.
That one surprised me.
Yeah.
The Twitter one didn't. It was like, what, 10 million a second or something like that? Just it's an astronomical number, but I didn't realize Dropbox had such volume to it.
And I'm scrolling through the number of Google searches in 1 second, down to the number of YouTube videos viewed in 1 second, which gets even lengthier.
Was that even a trillion?
I think it went past two.
It had a lot of zeros.
Yeah. And then not surprisingly, at the bottom of the list, the number of Facebook likes in 1 second. And we'll be scrolling for a while on this screen because there's a whole bunch of them. In comparison to the others, you can see that Facebook is really dominant in terms of likes. And then it finishes off with this quote, Reddit, Tumblr, Twitter, Tumblr, Dropbox, and Instagram didn't exist 10 years ago. Oh, and I missed a line. 10 years ago, Skype, Facebook, YouTube, and the others didn't exist. 20 years ago, there were only 130 websites total. Google wasn't even around yet, and you had to pay for an email account through an ISP. 30 years ago, there was no internet. 30 years ago, that wasn't that long ago, was it?
And most of our lifetimes.
So, interesting infographic, and actually probably I'm going to skip to another interesting image-based thing that Pastor Gunther shared with us from Information is Beautiful, which has just tons of data visualizations. This one's actually called Intermental. And Intermental is actually helping to classify the number of tech and internet-induced mental disorders. So you're encouraged to click to vote on things that apply to you. They've got things like hypermind, an experience of no gaps between stimuli, link to link to link to link. When part of a unified intent, the same experience is described as flow, often blissful, creatively fulfilling, and productive, with a sense of timelessness. When purposeless and unintentional, it feels empty, and they call that hollow flow, frenzied, unfulfilling, and unproductive, just continuing to be immersed in links and things. And there's tons of these that they've listed, and if you read through descriptions, you end up finding that several of them more than likely apply to you. Computational bleed, spilling of grid and link and click dynamics of the virtual digital world into real life. When it doesn't flow the same way in real life, you have anxiety and anger. Screen burn, just too much digital or internet stimulation. Backlog depression. subtle background sense of burden and low level stress related to number of unread emails. How many of these can we relate to? So interesting infographic and diagnostic type official names for these phenomenon that we experience. I know somewhere on the list is one just that reaching for your phone in every brief break of the day that you have, you feel the need or compelled to reach for your phone. And I'm just going to be honest, Martin, when you were talking a few minutes ago, I reached for my phone and looked at my messages. It's just almost a second sense thing that we fill our moments with this digital fluff that is part of our lives these days. So interesting graphic there.
I think individuals have always had that something inside them that says they don't want to miss something, and technology is really kind of heightened that to new levels, because there's always something you're missing in the world in today's information age. So we kind of have to figure out how to get over that and be okay with that. And this is, a lot of these applied. I mean, if you read through most of them, there was a sense that, boy, there's something wrong with me. Maybe there is, but I think that's it's good to have an awareness of it. That's probably the first thing. You have to admit that there is an issue, and then deal with it. Mm-hmm. Good infographic, thanks, Rob.
Yeah, and as we said, he gave us lots to talk about this month. One that I wanted to mention was something called the Remix Mini, the world's first true Android PC, where you can actually run the Android operating system. Remix OS is built for more of a desktop experience, and they actually have a little device, and I believe fairly inexpensive. They have two versions of it, a 8 gig and a 16 gig, and I think the 16 gig, the higher end choice, is at like $70 for the price point. So you certainly could use it to stream video and things like that to a television if you wanted to use it as kind of a media PC for streaming or whatever. Lots of features here, and interesting to see Android being used in this way.
We're seeing a lot of that crossover lately. The Chromebook Pixel C, or maybe it's not Chromebook, but the Pixel C put out by Google. It's basically a tablet that comes with a keyboard, but it basically is running Android. So it's kind of presenting Android as the operating system, which is the same concept here. So there's and then Windows is now Windows 10 is that cross-platform operating system, touch or type. Apple's really the only one that's kind of kept the two separate, where they have Mac OS and iOS. And the two don't meet, so you're not able to interact with your MacBook or MacBook Pro or iMac screen. They're not touchable, so they want you to kind of push over the tablet side or iPad side. So interesting divergence I think we're going to see going on here in the near future.
All right. I have one more to mention from Pastor Gunther, and Rob sent us kind of a lengthy description of how he uses some software from convertit.org. There's a free download here for a text to MP3 converter. And long story short, he uses it to convert some things that he has in text version into something that he can listen to in his car when he's exercising or whatever it may be. One example he gave was the seminary library of essays. And maybe you want to dig into some of that
works as well.
So lots of potential there, and certainly seems like it's easy to do with this free software that he's found. So check it out. We'll have a link in the show note for the text to MP3 converter. Martin, I think that brings us to Look Both Ways. We introduced last month kind of a poll of the Wells Tech community where we would ask some tech and ministry type questions. And this month's question was, in what ways have you found tablets useful in ministry? And we got a variety of responses. We put it out there to our listserv, to our Google Plus community. We asked it even on Facebook. I have the Facebook post right here. So they've been in the news a lot lately. You may even have one under your Christmas tree. Who knows? If you have one, how do you use it as a pastor, teacher, staff minister, lay leader, whatever it may be? And we got some great responses. There were a lot who focused on using it with the Bible app. And I, for one, have seen it used more and more in my congregation when we go to Sunday Bible class. There's lots of people now that have their tablets or even smartphones out to read along in the Bible as we're studying. And people talked about following it in church and Bible class. Someone mentioned, I think Cindy Krieger said she was hoping the next hymnal will be available for download on her tablet as well. And that's something the hymnal committee, I think, is certainly considering as they look at electronic resources for the new hymnal that's being developed. Let's see, who else responded? Ashley
Sermon
Hines.
Notes, which you've mentioned before, somebody mentioned. Chandra Harmond mentioned notes for sermons.
Ashley Hines said she's used it while teaching Sunday school so she could share photos or videos that were relevant to the lesson. She also had her lesson plans on Dropbox and would use her tablet instead of printing out paper lesson plans or whatever. She'd just reference them from her tablet. And she, too, mentioned that she does the church's Facebook page, and it's nice to use her tablet for taking pictures in the moment. So tablets, smartphones definitely can come in handy when managing mobile media. I know I do it all the time from my tablets and smartphones, and it is a handy tool for that. I've even heard of congregations using an iPad to actually stream the service, like to start a Google Hangout or a final web streaming or whatever it may be, from the iPad camera. Let's see. We heard from Matt Notling, who teaches, I think, in the La Crosse area or maybe Rochester area. I know he's a Wells teacher out there. And he says he uses his Nexus tablet with his Chromecast to display on his screen in his classroom. So that's kind of an answer to Gail's question about using the smart board and remote control devices. He's not really mentioning a smart board, but with a Chromecast. He uses it for reading books from the Kindle app. He uses CastPad to write or simply moving around the classroom while teaching and shifting between website pages. He also uses it in gym for Phi Ed to stream music through the Chromecast, using Coach's Eye for recording of and assessing students. That's a videotaping technique that coaches use to kind of break down whatever it may be, like your batting swing or your golf swing or whatever it may be, to give people feedback on their techniques. He says he uses slide presentations. So he doesn't have to use a computer or a Chromebook. He can just have a slide presentation on his tablet. You know, I thought of that as an option for pastors as well, going out on shut-in visits or whatever it may be, maybe showing photos and things on their tablet. A nice enough size where someone who might have limited vision capabilities can still see it. It's not tiny on a small phone screen, but on a tablet screen would be really great for sharing. And then we also heard from Perry Lund, and he says most tablets that he's used in the past have been great media consumption and information research devices. And he really likes the tactile feel and use of paper and pen. He loves keyboarding as well. The Surface has brought digital ink closer to making me use pen and paper less, but he still needs to see some improvement. So I think the stylus maybe and that experience using a digital pen maybe needs to improve for it to be fully adopted is what he's getting at. So
Very good.
Feedback though.
One way I use my iPad all the time when I'm either teaching or doing Bible class or whatever is using the Glow Bible on it. Just a rich Bible experience where you get interactive maps and artwork and backstories. It's it's actually a very good tool in that regard. So I'll hook that up to the projector or whatever. And that's always with me. So.
Excellent. All right. I think that's going to do it for our community feedback. About time, huh? We have quite an active community, huh, Martin?
We do. And if you'd like to participate in that community at whatever time or whatever week, we would encourage you to kind of give a shout out whenever. And just go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. And up at the top, you'll see a bunch of icons, and those are all the places we live and we check out when we put these shows together: Google Plus, Facebook, Twitter, Digo, Pinterest. We had no Pinterest today. What is the problem? So, Instagram, the listserv. You can use email, or you can leave a voicemail right there on the page. So, no excuses. Please give us your feedback, and we'd love to share it with everybody else.
Time for a couple of quick news and tech mentions, and these are all Wells-centric. These are Wells technology news items recently released. The first one is a story that was published about St. Lucas Lutheran School there in the Milwaukee area, and the fact that they have launched a brand new STEM classroom. And it says it's complete with a large 3D printer, height adjustable desk, Dell desktop computers, a drill press, bandsaw, and more. And they're going to begin using it in January. And it's all part of the Project Lead the Way initiative and STEM program that they're participating there at St. Lucas. And I think they got like $400,000 for this lab, funded through grants and things from various foundations. So really exciting to read about them leading the way with their STEM lab. So definitely
check out this one. Congratulations, St. Lucas. That's a great accomplishment, and I'm sure it will be a gift to you.
And to many students. One more mention in the news and tech area. Just came across this on Facebook. There was a company in the Watertown, South Dakota area that posted a link. If you're looking at my screen on the video, you'll see that a group of Great Plains Lutheran High School students made this beautiful collage, and they made it out of Post-it notes. 1,500 post-it notes to be exact, and it's a picture of the nativity scene with the star up in the sky. So kudos to those Great Plains Lutheran High School students who put this together. It's really well done, and they're getting a lot of good press via Facebook. Looks like about 320 people have liked this picture of their post-it note collage. So way to spread the good news there.
Very nice. Shall we move on to we ought to remind people of our photo challenge, right?
That's right. We do have a photo challenge going on. You can learn all about it over at wellstech.wells.net/photo challenge. And for the month of December, we are specifically looking to add to our Wells Tech photo challenge album on Flickr with images of Advent, Christmas, or images that represent John 1 verse 9 about the light coming into the world. So we've gotten some great ones already, Martin. Happy to add these pictures to our photo gallery, and we're looking to add more, our growing photo gallery. Right now we have 299 royalty-free public domain images out there that churches and schools can take advantage of, and we want more. So please do share your pictures of Advent, Christmas, and John 1, verse 9.
Yeah, very inspirational. I've been very lax and probably a bad citizen by not contributing this point. But this one looks really fun, and there's some very cool shots that people have contributed there.
Already, yeah, definitely. You know what? Don't be discouraged. There's still room for you. So hop right into the mix.
Time for tips and picks of the week. Can't wait for yours, Sally.
This one actually comes from our friend Tom Rosenau, who contacted me via Facebook to share a link to teleprompter.com, which is a free teleprompting software that works on any device so that you can script something you're needing to talk through, speeches, video recordings, whatever it is, and read the script nicely into the camera. You know, we talked about Google Hangouts being so easy, Martin. That's just one way that you can share a message. So you can record your own Google Hangouts or use a lot of different video softwares to do that. And having something like this on your screen at the same time, I'm thinking I need one right now, allows you to read the script that you've prepared for whatever it is you're recording and do it very professionally. So free software from teleprompter.com. Thanks, yeah, Tom Rosenau.
That's amazing that that is free. And this is something that, you know, maybe you don't think you'd ever use, but I think now that we're in the age of more video and, you know, there are opportunities to kind of get your message out on your website or YouTube or whatever, I think there are scripted opportunities where you would have an address of some sort, especially if you're a pastor. You want to give a little bit of a Christmas message and you want it to be short and concise and get all the words right. These kinds of tools work really well for that kind of thing where you can script it and it can still be natural. You can kind of still look at the camera. So lots of usage, I think, for this. So nice share.
Yeah, it says you don't even have to log in to use it. So check it out.
Very good. My pick of the week is an offer from Google. The offer ends by the end of the month, so you can't drag your feet too much. But if you were thinking about getting a Chromecast, now is the time to do that. The new Chromecast costs $35. But from now until, I think, December 31st, Google will give you a $20 credit toward any other purchase on Google Play, which includes movies, games, TV shows, those kinds of things. So actually it ends January 2nd. So the link in the show notes will get you to the right page where you can purchase the Chromecast. You get the Chromecast, obviously, but then the $20 credit, which is kind of cool. And I would highly recommend the Chromecast. Matt Notling and his feedbacks in our feedback section mm-hmm. talked about him using the Chromecast to project in his classroom. I've got a couple Chromecasts around the house. Very easy to use. A lot of apps right now, a lot of multimedia apps like YouTube and Google Play and Pandora and those kinds of things will allow you to cast your content from your phone or tablet to whatever the Chromecast is hooked up to, typically a television. So $35 is not bad for that kind of functionality. So go to the website and grab your Chromecast and you get that $20 back.
Yeah, $35 is not bad. 15 is even better. That's right. And that's what the net result is. So that's awesome.
Let's move on to ministry resources.
Sure. Came across my desk a little reminder about the Grow in Grace website, sponsored by the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, the Institute for Pastoral Growth at the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, partnering with pastors for lifelong growth and all their callings. And in particular, I wanted to point out on the website, there's an area called Shepherd Study, where they regularly do book reviews. And so you can go back and read different reviews on the website. I think it was perhaps Pastor Jeremiah Gum who shared a new review on getting to know the church fathers. And interesting time. I think a lot of people are focusing on church history much more with the 500th anniversary of the Reformation coming up. There's lots of interest in that and probably a lot of good things that you can read up on. And if this is one you are considering, check out the review that's available here in the Shepherd Study on the Grow in Grace website. And we'll have links to all of that in our show notes. Along with that, I wanted to make mention of a website shared by Pastor Rob Gunther. It's the Church History Institute website, and the fact that they have a series right now specifically looking at the history around the Reformation. And Rob pointed out that you can actually get the magazine subscription at your choice of donation amount. So you put in whatever you want to donate to receive this magazine. And it's a print magazine. Comes to you in your real live mailbox. So check it out, and perhaps you'll be interested in the Church History Magazine and the focus on the Lutheran Reformation that's going on right now. That's what I have for ministry resources.
Very good. And then the last segment of the show is always one where we try and highlight a video in one of our playlist categories that might be of interest to you. And my guess is it has kind of an Advent-y theme.
It does. It's from our friend Mike Westendorf, and it's a recording of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and him performing that live on stage with a group. And I think you'll find it very pleasing and hope you enjoy it.
Very good. Next week is our traditional Christmas show, and those that have been following us for a number of years know that we always try and find a good interview for you, and we try and find usually an administrator, synod president type person, and this year we were able to coax Pastor Paul Prangy to join me for a conversation around ministry to teens and cross-cultural situations. So that'll be our show next week, where we chat a little bit about that with him, and I think you'll find it very interesting. So tune in to episode 424 for that little Christmas special.
There you go.
Sally, I think we have used up our allotted time, maybe even a little bit more, but you got to love the feedback. So we wanted to get through as much as we can, and we really love people giving that to us, because it broadens, I think, not just our horizons. I think everybody learns something from somebody else. So keep that feedback coming.
Yeah, definitely. We'll look forward to that show again next month.
Absolutely. And thank you for joining us. Come back again next week. We record every Tuesday, and about Wednesday morning, afternoon, somewhere in there, it's available in audio and video. So download that from your favorite podcasting player, iTunes or wherever. We'd love to have you continue to join us, and invite your friends. Thanks for joining us today. God's blessings, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.